Welcome back to the third hour of Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station, and we have had a smoking show so far. Wow, last hour was exciting. I just got to say, give a shout out to my listeners and my callers. By far the most intelligent, the most thoughtful, and passionate callers I hear on any radio show. You guys rock. You're fantastic. You rock my world. You make it worth showing up, you know? And when I go away, like all week, I'm looking forward to connecting with you guys. It's a whole different thing. I don't connect with my listeners. I don't connect anywhere in my life the way I connect when I get here and I start talking to you guys. There's a whole relationship for me building up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for caring. This really, really works for me, and you guys make it worth showing up and putting the effort in. Thank you. We were talking in the last hour about what are we going to do about the feelings that we have about the state of our democracy, and when people lose their jobs, and the fear and the grief and the terror and the anger that comes up, that we retroflect these feelings, that we turn them inward and they become shame. We had a psychologist call up and kind of corroborate that claim that what happens generally is that those feelings then get turned inward. It's our fault. And then we had another caller say that we have to stop for those people who are poor to stop apologizing for it. There's no shame in it. We turn our feelings of mad as hell inward against ourselves. And guess who that works for? The system, the rich, the people that are systematically and deliberately taking this country apart to the detriment of everyone else. And we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. And we were talking about going to the streets. I had mentioned in my monologue that we were going to set the streets on fire with our indignation and our sense of betrayal. And some people called and pushed back and said, that's a little scary. Even I got a text from my wife who said, careful. Should I be careful? Is that too far to go? When do we start to say we are going to take who we are and what we stand for and the way we feel out into the streets and let the man know how we feel? Because I think until we do that, until we have the courage to step up with what we feel, because that's our power, because feelings are what make us human, until we can do that with full passion, they're not going to take us seriously. And that's what I mean by streets on fire, with our passion, with our conviction, with our hurt, with our anger, with our betrayal, with our grief. And we take it out in the streets and we say, we're not going to take it anymore. That's what will transform our society. And we have somebody, our next guest is somebody who is doing this in the real world, somebody who's managed to channel all of their feelings of anger and frustration at the system and turn it into something really productive. His name is Ashley Anderson, and he's the director of Peaceful Uprising. PeacefulUprising.org is the website. Go check it out. It's pretty amazing. They call themselves a climate justice organization, which he co-founded with Tim DeChristopher in 2008. For those of you who listen to the show regularly, Tim DeChristopher was on this show about a month ago. He was arrested and convicted on two counts of felony for falsely purchasing land that never should have been auctioned in the first place in Utah. He purchased the land in an auction under not false pretenses, but with no intention of actually paying for them, just to hold them and lock them up. And now he faces 10 years, 5 years on each felony count, and he's going to be sentenced in 2 days, 3 days, on the 26th. So that's Tuesday. Ashley Anderson is the co-director and the co-founder. He studied political science at the University of Utah, has participated in many climate conferences, including Copenhagen, where he worked with the Yes Men. He has helped start Citizens Candidate Initiative, which is being replicated in congressional districts all across the country. He is also a lead organizer and designer of rallies surrounding the trial and sentencing of Tim DeChristopher. We are very honored to have Ashley here. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's an honor to be on your show, Adam. I had to stand up when I heard your introduction about setting the streets on fire with our passion and our conviction.
Right on.
So, yeah, I was sitting in a nice, comfortable chair. So,
well, no, you can't be comfortable when you're talking about that. You gotta stand up. So let's talk about the Peaceful Uprising, peacefuluprising.org. Tell us a little bit about this. I mean, I feel like I get up and I talk a lot. And one of our callers was like, hey, man, enough talk. Right. So here you and peacefuluprising.org is kind of the answer to that question of how do we move beyond talk into action? Tell me a little bit about Peaceful Uprising, how it came into being and the role that it's starting to play now.
Well, Peaceful Uprising came to be because we saw the outpouring of energy and support for what Tim did when he interrupted that auction back in 2008. People that we never would have suspected to be enthusiastic were suddenly like, yes, you know, someone broke the law. Someone did something big in your face in the government against the fossil fuel industry. And we said, gosh, this energy just can't go away. There's something that we've tapped into here. And it's revolutionary and it's traditional. And we wanted to make sure that it was channeled into something productive, because it's good to be, you know, you were talking about earlier about being angry and turning that energy inward, or just being like simply destructive, so throwing bricks through windows. I mean, there's anger, and then there's the anger that translates into recreating the system, re-owning your power, and that's what Peaceful Uprising is trying to do. For the last 2 years, we've been organizing some core principles that we want to see kind of be infused with this sudden unleashing of energy.
I'm going to read from your mission and statement, but I want to comment on something you said because I thought it was really great. You know, this idea that there's a difference between anger and rage is the distinction that I make. And when I look at the Tea Party, I think that, you know, it's really just a populist rage party. And you know that you've moved into rage when the agenda is destructive, because rage is always destructive, right? And if you look at the agenda of the Tea Party, what is it? To dismantle the government. That's
right.
Not going to help us. What we do need to do is transform it. And I think that's the role that anger plays. Anger, normal, healthy human emotion, when channeled properly, changes the world. In fact, it may be the only thing that ever has changed the world. So,
amen, Adam.
Amen to that to you, man. So here, I'm going to read a little bit from their mission so you guys get what Peaceful Uprising, peacefuluprising.org. Again, you know, I'm always asking for people to give money, but if you got some money, these are the people to give it to. They're doing great work. We're talking about setting up a long-term kind of partnership between Madison and America and peacefuluprising.org, because I love the work that they're doing. Here's some of their mission. We are committed to defending a livable future through empowering non-violent action. That's number one. Number two, we seek to change the institutional and social status quo at the root of climate crisis and move toward a just and healthy world. Amen to that. By pushing the reality of the climate crisis to the forefront of the public forum, we, in capital letters, will secure the attention and inspire the revolution the climate crisis requires. Respond to that, because what you're doing is not limited to climate crisis, but it seems to be the center, a central organizing principle. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, Adam, the climate crisis is a symptom. We've a symptom of the system being sick. We've gotten to a place as a species on this planet where we're actually fundamentally altering the chemistry of our atmosphere on this planet, and that's going to lead to disasters across the world. It's going to lead to increased injustice. It's going to exacerbate pre-existing tensions in places all over this planet, and that symptom requires us to point back and say, where is it coming from? And it's coming from a basic set of injustices that have been plaguing humanity for a long time, except this time are such as income disparity, uneven wealth distribution. We celebrate greed over an accomplishment, and as a result of greed over altruism and community. But except this time we're butting up against the actual limits of what the planet can support. There aren't enough resources for us to continue down this path anymore, and there are no solutions that can offset changed weather patterns that will affect people. So what we have to do is stop, and we have to examine the entire system itself. What does it celebrate? What does it value? It values greed, and it celebrates greed, and it values the things that don't actually make us happy. Mm-hmm. They don't actually make us feel fulfilled as human beings. And once we recognize that owning our own voice and getting at the root causes of the climate crisis can lead to a type of revolution that has something on the other side worth fighting for. We don't want a green version of the world we have now. That's a lot. That's something we say a lot. You know, that's still a world full of injustice.
What do you mean when you say a green version of the world we have now? What do you mean?
There's a lot of capitalistic solutions proposed out there. That we can buy different kind of light bulbs. We can buy Priuses. We can still buy our way out of this problem, but we really can't. We need to stop and reevaluate why we do what we do. If we only change what we buy, we continue to be consumers, and we're consuming something that we're running out of, which is just the basic planet itself. And what we have to stop and do is not say, you know, we're socialists, we're capitalists, we're this, we're that. We can put that all aside in the context of fighting climate change and say, there are values out there that are unacceptable. I mean, back 12,000 years ago, we would have kicked someone out if they were tricking everyone and lying to everyone and taking everyone's stuff and laughing in their face. We would have kicked them out of the tribe and they would have starved to death in the desert. Nowadays, we put them on our dollar bills and we celebrate them. And I think that we've gotten completely backwards, but we've got a chance to actually turn that around now.
I really like it's about a paradigm shift. I love the way you clarified that, because I wasn't clear when I went to the website about climate crisis as a way to understand that all of the things that we valued, certainly in Western society for the past 5,000 years, have gotten us to a place where we are literally destroying the home where we live. So I really like that. And so talk to me. We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about Tim and how people can help. Tell me why nonviolence is central to this paradigm shift.
The existing power structure out there, you know, the people who physically have the most power out there with the guns and everything, they have a monopoly on violence, and that's a key term. But, I mean, they really do. If we try to fight back with violence and destructive behavior and we try to smash stuff, then that justifies them coming back and smashing us. And they'll win that. But what they can't win...
yeah,
the only way
they have all the guns.
But the only way they'll ever lose is if we can undermine their legitimacy, and that is by going out, getting in the way of what they're doing nonviolently, and forcing them to respond. If they ever do respond with the only thing they have the advantage with, which is violence, that will further undermine their legitimacy, and that's the real thing. That's the real mission we have to accomplish.
Tim DeChristopher said a great thing on the show, right on this point when he was on, about the kind of, with his action, he broke laws, but no ethical laws, just human laws or just American laws, which are not necessarily always ethical. But he said that's the heart of what nonviolent action does when it succeeds. It puts the power structure in an impossible position. So if they sentenced him harshly, then they're going to see a backlash. If they try to get off away from that backlash by not sentencing Tim and letting him off lightly, then they send the message that it's okay to do it. So they really are in a no-win situation. That's why Tim DeChristopher's action was so successful as nonviolent action, and why it is the only thing that is going to work. We're talking to Ashley Anderson of peacefuluprising.org. Go check out their website. When we come back, it'll be your calls and a great clip from Tim DeChristopher. We'll be right back.
Back in those days, everything was simpler and more confused.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. I don't want to compete with Jim Morrison's narrative. He's got a much cooler voice than I do. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ. AM 620 KPOJ, I said it right. Portland's only progressive talk station. We are talking to Ashley Anderson, director of Peaceful Uprising, peacefuluprising.org. And we're talking about a paradigm shift. We're talking about using nonviolent action as a way to shift out of the values that have gotten us into the crisis that we face at the level of the climate. And I don't think there's anybody that would disagree with the idea that that there are a set of values that we've been living by, this idea of consuming and greed and self-interest that have created this crisis that we seem to be kind of compulsively ignoring. So as a long introduction, Ashley, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great even listening to your commercials there. That's a wonderful station.
Oh, we love it here. We feel very lucky to have AM 620 here, and I'm grateful to be here. I'm having really a good time today, particularly. I want to give a quick shout-out before we get back into our interview. We have our Mad as Hell teams out in the streets getting recordings from people about why they're mad as hell. We're going to be in the Hawthorne on this coming Wednesday, 1 to 3. I will not be there. Thursday downtown from 1 to 3, and at PSU Farmers Market from 9 to 1 next Saturday. So if you want to get on the air, we're going to pick the best ones, and we're going to put them on the air, and maybe get a T-shirt, a bumper sticker. We're moving into that land a little bit. So I got an email here, Ashley, from somebody who said, okay, so I don't buy a Prius or a light bulb. If that isn't enough, what is? I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, well, it is a fair question. There are no exact marching orders except to say that, you know, and we put this in our core principles, to say that, you know, you need to realize that the world is going to start changing whether or not you've helped it along or not. We're going to reach, or actually have reached, peak oil. It's going to be extremely expensive soon, and that'll change the way we have food. Everything, all these things we're locked into, whether we want to or not, are going to start shifting dramatically soon. I mean, the way to actually like help solve these problems is to decide. I know this sounds a little wishy-washy, but it's the only thing that's actually ever ended up working. Is to decide, sort of in yourself, that you're going to be an active agent of change, an effective agent of change.
Doesn't sound wishy-washy to me.
And that once you do that, you almost put on a different set of goggles, and you start seeing the world and noticing different things in the world that become opportunities for you to actually start doing that. You know, everything's connected to everything else, and once you become an agent of change, you might not always see the effects of what you're doing. But the one thing that won't work is if you continue to feel good about still participating in the system by buying a Prius and by changing your light bulbs and feel like that's enough. What you need to do is start fundamentally challenging the assumptions of everything around you, including the assumption that we'll always have cheap energy, that we'll always have enough food in the grocery store, and that the world is a infinite set of resources that we can continue to exploit until we move on to something else. No, these changes are going to be forced upon us.
Well, I really like your response, and my response to that question, I think, is back to your statement, which was, you know, we need to get out. We can't consume our way out of this crisis. We can't just take the solutions that are given to us. Well, we've got this green solution, and it's a light bulb and a car that doesn't use as much gas. What I hear you saying is that it requires a real fundamental shift in our orientation and a challenge to ourselves and everything around us to say, well, wait a minute, we need to move out of this whole way of being, this whole way of thinking. And that's what's required. So the question itself, to me, is still being asked from within the paradigm that we have now, and what's required to really shift all of humanity out of the condition that we're in is a radical paradigm shift outside the conversation that we're having in society. So I'm just restating what you said earlier. Let's move on to Tim DeChristopher. For people who don't know who Tim DeChristopher is, let's give them an encapsulation, and then I want to play a clip.
Okay. Tim is a guy here in Utah who attended a conference by a UN scientist that threw a bunch of graphs up, and it basically didn't add up to him. So he went up afterward and said, excuse me if I'm wrong, but doesn't this all say that there's no way out of this climate thing, that we're all going to be just toast? And they said, yeah, you saw it right. I just don't like to say that in front of crowds. I'm sorry, but our generation failed you. And he went home in despair, spent a few days digesting that and wondering if there was any point in doing anything, decided that there was, heard about an illegal auction that was taking place downtown in Salt Lake City that was public land being auctioned to from the BLM to the oil and gas industry, and he went down there and he joined the protesters outside and said, this isn't enough. He marched in there. They asked him if he wanted to be a bidder on those lands, so he went in First he started driving up prices, and then he realized that he had to just go all in despite whatever consequences there might be. He won $1.8 million worth of land with no intention to pay, was arrested, and the trick here is that he never shut up about why he did it, and he was continually offered plea bargains because the government and the fossil fuel industry were embarrassed. And he never shut up about why it was important, and he's kind of developed a huge international response based on that kind of courage.
And this is the kind of the core action that peacefulUprising.org is the site is involved with right now. And he is facing two felony counts, 5 years on each count. He's been offered plea bargains, which he has refused, because what they'd love to do is sweep this under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
He is saying, no, you're going to convict me openly, period, and be accountable to the response, which I think is really, really important. So tell us now, where do you think this is going to go? Well, how do you think this is going to go for Tim? Let me add, he's going to be sentenced on Tuesday, July 26th, and there is a place we're going to talk about where you can support and give money to his defense. But where do you think he stands right now?
Well, I just went hiking with him this morning to talk about these kind of things. It's really up in the air, you know? I mean, if the government, and in my view, and this is my personal take on all of it, is that if the judge doesn't give him any time, then that's a clear victory that he ignored all of the recommended sentencing from the prosecution, which is the government. If he does a single, this is my own personal thing, this has nothing to do with anything he believes, but if he does a single day in jail when we have CEOs of like Massey Energy and all these other murderers walking free on the streets, that's a complete injustice, and we won't let it stand.
Yeah, none of us will. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess we're coming up against a break. So when we come back, can you stay for another segment?
Absolutely.
Great. We're talking to Ashley Anderson of Peaceful Uprising. PeacefulUprising.org is the website. We're discussing the trial, the conviction, and now the soon-to-be sentencing of Tim DeChristopher, who protested the illegal sale of land in Utah by bidding on it with no intention of paying for it. And now he faces two felony counts, 5 years each, could be 10 years in prison. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ. When we come back, we're going to have a clip from Tim, an inspiring clip. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Everything that went on inside that building tried to convince me that I was alone and that I was weak. They tried to convince me that I was like a little finger out there on my own that could easily be broken. And all of you out here were the reminder, but that I was connected to a hand with many fingers that could unite as one fist. And that fist could not be broken by the power that they have in there. That fist is not a symbol of violence. That fist is a symbol that we will not be misled into thinking we are alone. We will not be lied to and told we are weak. We will not be divided, and we will not back down. That fist is a symbol that we are connected and that we are powerful. It's a symbol that we hold true to our vision of a healthy and just world, and we are building the self-empowering movement to make it happen. That now I'll have to go to prison. We know that now that's the reality. And many before me have gone to jail for justice. And if we're going to achieve our vision, many after me will have to join me as well.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. That was Tim DeChristopher, co-founder of Peaceful Uprising. PeacefulUprising.org is the website. Our guest is Ashley Anderson, who is the co-founder of Peaceful Uprising. PeacefulUprising.org being the website. Ashley, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's great to be on your show, Adam.
Yeah, we love having you here. You know, I played that clip because I love the solidarity that it demonstrates. This idea that we're alone, And that's what the system wants to make us feel. But we're not alone. We're connected. And he uses the metaphor of a fist, but the reality is not one drop of blood has been shed. Not one act of violence has been shed in this action. And this is really some of the first truly effective nonviolent action that I've seen in this country. And I'm very impressed and glad as hell that you guys are doing this. So let's expand this conversation a little bit, Ashley Anderson of peacefuluprising.org, and talk a little bit about what's happening as a result of this action and how it's kind of spreading.
Well, as a result of Tim's action, it's inspired people to realize that the power structure that we've all come to take for granted isn't unassailable, that it is vulnerable, and that it is something that can be exposed if there's just that personal dedication to going and finding a way to expose it for what it is. And that I think that it just came along at a time when it was ripe for it. I think it's very natural for people to periodically wake up from these chronic torpors they sometimes get locked into, this being the deepest one I've ever read about. And that when we do that, when people start to wake up, as we've seen in across the world and now it's kind of coming to our shores, we see that people kind of look around for something real and something strong, either strong and positive or strong and negative to latch onto.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do, what Peaceful Uprising's primary mission is, really, I mean, we do support Tim a lot because he's our friend, but he has nothing to do with when we plan and what we plan and what we say at his rallies and stuff, but everything else he has a lot to do with. What we're trying to do is provide something real, strong and positive that can be kind of stuck down in the ground for people to latch onto when all this human energy is sort of freed up by a vastly changing society. And you, to get back to your question, I'm sorry, I just love talking about that.
What
has it led to? It's led to a lot of joy, man. I mean, I've never seen. I mean, we have hula hoops and tambourines and drums. And we have Peter Yarrow, and we have, all of these older generations and younger people coming together and realizing that there's more than just a sort of movie to be lived out here, you know, in our lives, and that we can actually take part in history again. And it's been really liberating, and it's been just a wonderful experience to see people embrace that.
Ashley, right on. I a few weeks ago, I saw the bumper sticker that said, "If I can't dance at your revolution, I'm not coming." And it ended up—I can't remember—it ended up being attributed to a woman, 100 years ago. But I kind of riffed on that, feeling like and I'm keying off a word that you said, is that what you're finding as you do this is joy, right? I mean, that's what we need to bring to the revolution. We need to bring joy. We need to dance. We need to drum. We need to sing. I say that we don't do this because we hate the system. We don't stand up and take a stand because we hate the system. We do it because we love the world. Because we love what could be, not because we hate what is. And that, to me, is the doorway into the paradigm shift that you're talking about.
Absolutely, Adam. I mean, we're mad as hell.
Right.
You know, of course
sure.
You are. I mean, that's natural. Anger is, if you deny your anger, you're only going to make yourself sick. But part of joy, and this is the thing that a lot of people I don't think understand, joy is the experience of being real, of being genuine, of being honest. And then when you are as honest as you possibly can be with yourself, you realize the beautiful nature and the beautiful nature of just being a member of this great symphony of life. And part of that, sure, is being mad. But when you're joyful, you're owning it. And when you're joyful, you're more powerful than anybody that can aim anything at you. And you're more powerful than any corrupt system that throws people in jail and tortures people and that deprives other people of livelihood. When you actually participate in this, in the great web of life as a member of it, you can actually be happy. But more importantly, you're joyful and powerful.
Right on. We're talking to Ashley Anderson of Peaceful Uprising, peacefuluprising.org. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers if you want to join us here. Before we go to calls, Tim said something last time that has really stayed with me. I asked him about, wow, you know, this choice that you made must have really changed your life. And he said, must have impacted your life was the word I used. And he said, yeah, but you know what? I feel a lot better and a lot clearer now. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, you know, what happened was is that before I was, you know, riding my bike around and I was talking to Congress people and I was playing by all the rules and I was really ambivalent because it wasn't changing anything. Mm-hmm. And then once I took this action, there was this clarification that took place that his values and his actions came into alignment. And when that happened, suddenly there was clarity and peace and joy and a sense of purpose and right place. And man, I tell you, you know, that thought has really stayed with me because it takes courage to live by your values. And it also takes a degree of commitment to actually discover what those values are, and then to have the courage to live by them. And I'll be entirely honest, I don't always have that courage, but I feel myself moving there. I think if all of us were doing that, we would live in a very, very, very different world. The numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. If you want to join us, if you want to talk to Ashley, if you want to talk to me, give us a call, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. We got a call on the board. Jeff in Portland. Jeff, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. You're on with Ashley Anderson.
Thank you very much, Adam, and thank you, Ashley. I wanted to say two things we can also do personally to cut down on global warming are drive less and eat less meat and poultry. The book Die for a Small Planet has never been more relevant, even though it was written before global warming was even identified. You know, eating meat actually creates as much carbon in the atmosphere as driving does, which is pretty surprising but true. I also wanted to say that the personal is the political more than ever, and vice versa. One of the best political bands of all time, The Clash, have a lyric in the song The Clampdown that goes, "Anger can be power when you learn how to use it." And we need to realize that violence is not where we want to go. As Ashley has just said, and Dr. Cornel West has, and Chris Hedges, the author, have written, it's what they're good at, the quadrillion dollar killing machine that's our military industrial national security state. That's what they do, and we can't go there and give them what they want. We have to follow the examples in Egypt and even Madison, Wisconsin, and use civil disobedience, support groups like Peaceful Uprising, and work hard to get people like Alan Grayson elected.
Right on. Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Ashley, you want to respond?
Yeah, I think that was a great call and two great quotes. I wish that every caller could sort things through like that. I think that eating less meat or eating no meat and not driving is excellent behavior because it puts your actions in line with your values, right?
Right, right.
But I also think that at this stage and due to the time constraints we've got to fight global warming and fight anthropogenic climate change, we also have to put as much energy as we put into those kind of lifestyle changes as we put into changing the system and putting things on the line. You know, if it comes up to a choice between do I drive to this rally or do I not, you know, that could potentially spark a type revolutionary type wave, or do I not go because it's too far? I think it's better to drive. And I know that sounds really bad, and a lot of people would be surprised that I would say that, but we're out of time. I mean, we have to spark a giant change now.
I couldn't agree more. There's something really urgent. There's something really now about it. But that's when Jeff, by the way, thanks for the call, man. Great call. I really, really appreciate
it. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Have a great day.
You know, you highlight the importance, Ashley, of that now is the moment, you know, and that's why, not just accepting that we can't consume our way out of it, we can't necessarily even think our way out of it, though we have to be rational. But what we need to do is take a stand, and we need to, and that means bringing our values into alignment with our actions in a way that addresses the urgency of the crisis that we're in, right?
Right. And I love that you brought up taking a stand, because one thing that we've talked about a lot is taking a stand. And a lot of people throw that term around. And I think taking a stand can be defined as actually not moving until the other person responds.
But what do you mean? That's interesting.
It's like kind of playing chicken. Making a statement is when you go in and you you make a lot of noise and you have a lot of media and you have say in action where you don't force the other side sort of to respond. Taking a stand is where you stay until you're removed, or you don't. That they have to make the call. They're forced to respond, because there's a lot of times in a lot of our activism and our actions where we don't force the other side to respond. And I think that that's the one key thing that was so different about Tim's action, was that he just kept his bitter paddle in the air until they stopped the auction. You know, if he had just stopped and like walked out, they could have just brushed it all under the table, but they had to throw the whole thing out.
Ashley, I think you bring up an excellent point. You know, Gandhi said a protest that, or I'm probably paraphrasing, I'm sure that I am, a protest that doesn't provoke a response fails. The nature of protest and the nature of taking a stand is that it must provoke a response. And that's what Peaceful Uprising is all about. Peacefuluprising.org is the website. We want to get involved in Portland, and Ashley and I, we're going to keep talking about that. We need to be connected here in Portland to the work that they're doing nationally. They have National Days of Action. Quickly tell people where they can go to support peacefuluprising.org and Tim DeChristopher's legal defense.
If you want to support Tim DeChristopher's legal defense, go to bitter70.org. If you want to support Peaceful Uprising, which also supports Tim, obviously, you can go to peacefuluprising.org. But please just join, learn, and go over the core principles and see if any of them resonate with you. That's the one thing I would ask more than anything else.
Ashley Anderson, peacefuluprising.org, thank you so much for being on the show. Great hour. Will you come back?
Absolutely. And you know what? If Portland is the place, man. I've lived there. I love Portland. There's intelligence and passion there that you don't find anywhere else, honestly.
Right on. Well, I think we're going to be hearing more from each other. Ashley Anderson, peacefuluprising.org. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
When we come back, your calls, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Comment on anything that went on in the show. I'm going to wrap things up when we come back. Matt Esel in America will be back in a moment. Welcome back to Matt Esel in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. God, I love Jimi Hendrix. Mold is love. God, I love that song. I'm wiped. This show was fantastic. You guys are awesome. So I've got some good news and some bad news. Good news is, well, let's do the bad news first. Bad news is I'm off for the next 2 weeks, and I'm going to miss doing this show. So I'm taking 2 weeks off. The good news is I will be back on the 13th with Matt Esel in America, and then there's no more breaks in the foreseeable future. Maybe one here or there. I may go to D.C. for the October 2011.org event. If you don't know about it, go to October 2011.org. It's totally consistent with everything that we've been talking about this entire show, but certainly in this last hour, I won't spend too much time on it now. So that is the news update. I am gone for the next two Saturdays. I will be back on the 13th, and then we're going to rock it, and we're going to keep on rocking it. If you have a final comment, this is a very short segment, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. If you have a comment on anything that you heard on the show, anything that you want to say, I thought that last segment was very, very provocative. I love peacefuluprising.org. They're doing something new. You see, you know, I said in the monologue that this movement for change, this paradigm shift is coming. It's not like we're pushing it. You know, I mean, it's pushing us. Those of us who get it, those of us who are a part of this movement, we're like, you know, waves being pushed by the current. You know, we are also the current. We have force, right? We are the wave. But this movement in thought, this paradigm shift that Ashley Anderson of peacefuluprising.org was talking about, is moving us, right? And the reason it's moving us is because this is a matter of life and death for human beings. I mean, we are either going to find a way to make this paradigm shift, to shift out of the values of consumption, of greed, of militarism, of materialism, of which I am guilty of some of those. We all are. That there is a kind of an enlightenment that wants to take place, but it won't take place unless we ask, unless we know when we're thinking, what mind am I thinking with? You see, that's why for me, violence doesn't work. Violence won't ever work because it's the mind, the same mind that created the problem that we're in. So when you're thinking, ask yourself, ask myself, what mind am I thinking with? Am I thinking with the mind that I've been enculturated with? And what would a totally different mindset look like? What would a paradigm shift look like on the whole planet, right? Billions and billions of individuals like suddenly getting it, right? Like the Big Bang, just boom. If enough of us stay at it, right? It's the 100th monkey principle that if enough of us get it, then suddenly all of us will get it. And what is the it that I am talking about? This it is something amorphous for me. It's something that moves in and out of clarity, but it looks something like love. It looks something like compassion, and it feels like love. It feels like compassion. It feels like joy, right? It's dancing at the revolution. It's like when because those are the qualities that we are really made from. That's what we really are. And the Maya of the world, right? The illusion of the world is that we're greedy and small and selfish and aggressive and violent and ugly and mean. And we get drawn into that mindset. And then we begin to believe the Maya. And we forget who we are. And we forget the substance that we are made from. The primary substance being love. The primary substance being joy. The primary substance being creativity. Right? This is what we are made from. This is what we will bring to the revolution. Not our hatred of what is, but our love of what we know could be. And that is that is the paradigm shift that I see the whole world getting caught up in. Don't you? See, man, we got to see it first, right? We got to believe it before we can see it. It's a tricky jump. It's a lot of uncertainty there. But you have to believe in that world by remembering who you are and what you are made from. Love, joy, compassion, celebration, creativity. This is who we are, and this is what we will use to change the world. Thank you so much for listening. You guys rock. This is Adam Klugman for Mad as Hell in America. I will be back in 2 weeks. I can't thank you enough. And we'll see you on the 13th. Adios. Going round.